The other night we was talking to you some about the ceiling of the 144,000. We said some things I know that was questionable. It caused some questions to rise in your mind, because I think one fellow said he met me the next day, I believe it was, he said, "I got about 100 questions I need to ask." So I know I said some things that must have caused some questions to arise in your mind, but when I was speaking about the millennium and the things that's going to happen in the millennium and the way it's going to be, it really don't sound right, does it? But that's the way the Bible teaches it. That's exactly the way it is. And it makes us have a different outlook on some of these things, realizing that it's like this. I want to read Revelation 10. We haven't read it in a good long while. Every once in a while I resort back to it to read it, to remind you that there is going to be a consummation of time. Chapter 10, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings." I want you to notice something here. I've pointed this out to you a number of times. But even in doing it, I perceive that some of you don't understand, or it doesn't register with you. I think they say you have to say something, what, seven times before it ever really registers. I'd like to say this to you again. It says here in Revelation 10 and 7, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets." Now, folks, I'm sure many of you don't understand. Because if you understood what that one verse is saying, it would change your whole life. If you'll notice now, it says here in Revelation 10 that the mystery of God is going to be finished. That there is a finishing. The Bible said there is an end to the things of God. That way you can understand them. But as to that of Satan, speaking to the bottomless pit, the Bible said they can't find the bottom. Can't find the bottom. There's no end to the things of the devil as to what he says. Other than God's going to make an end of it, there's no end to it. To those that get into the mind of Satan to drop into the bottomless pit, could you imagine ever being fallen and never finding a landing place? You know, just looking at it in natural terms. To think there is no end. There is always questions and more questions and more questions that arise in your mind, and you never get satisfied. You never get an answer, because it is a condition of confusion. See, but it says here that there is going to be an end. We ask the question, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, what is meant by the voice of the seventh angel? First, remember this. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. and tell my people of their sins. And then he speaks of the trump of God, which you know to be the voice of the Lord Jesus. Which means that whereas we use a trumpet, like Dwight when he plays up here, he uses a horn. He uses a trumpet. He can sound out pretty loud on that trumpet. But to God, our voice is a trumpet. Our voice is a trumpet. And he says to lift up your voice like a trumpet. So we see that the trump here is a voice. Very obvious that it is, because it states here in Revelation 8, and we need to open the seventh seal. There was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. It's obvious that the trumpets that he had given them was a voice, because it speaks of the last one of those seven angels. It says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. So it's obvious that what is called a trumpet in Revelation 8 is a voice in Revelation 10 as to making us to know what it is. So it is a voice. Who is the seventh angel? He's the seventh one of the seven that starts sounding in Revelation 8. There are seven angels that sound, and different things happen from one sounding to another, and then the last three of those angels, I've told you again and again, the last three of the seven angels, it says, woe, woe, woe. So the three woes that God spoke of, woe, one woe cometh and then another woe, when it speaks of these woes, then it has reference to the last three angelic beings that is sounding the trumpets. You want to see that? Revelation 10. And it goes on to tell us here that that last angel is going to sound. It says two woes have sounded already. It says here, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God. That was the second woe. That was the sixth angel. And this is when the great army of the horsemen came forth, that's got the breastplate of fire and of jacinth and brimstone and the head of lions. And out of their mouth issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. And the Bible says that these were people were killed. By these three was the third part of men killed. That's why the Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on the earth. So, we see that there's one more angel to sound. See, two woes have come. We said there the first woe sounded, then the next woe. So two woes has come, and all of a sudden we got one angel left to sound. Who is this seventh angel that Revelation 10 and 7 speaks of? It is the voice of the last woe. It is the voice of the last woe. Some people feel like, you know, there's going to come an angelic being, and they're going to throw up the trumpet, and they're going to sound, and there's going to be just a whole lot of good things that come to pass, and they're just waiting to hear this angel sound. But I want you to know that when this angel sounds, he isn't going to be saying a lot of good things to thrill folks. He's going to be bringing woe to the world. When his sounding comes, it's going to bring war. It's going to bring sorrows. It's going to bring earthquakes. It's going to bring all the turbulence of the earth. It's going to bring the judgments of God upon this generation that hears the sound. Another thing is, when will this angel sound? If he is the last one of the seven, then when will he sound? It's very obvious right here. It says that he will sound, and it's very obvious as when he sounds. Someone would say, well, I don't know when he sounds. I don't know when he's going to sound. And if you do, then tell me, all right? Let me tell you. It says here in Revelation 10 and 7 that in the days of the voice, when he sounds, the mystery should be finished. We move right on down to 11:15. It says, and the seventh angel sounded. It says, and the seventh angel sounded. Somebody said, when is he going to sound? It said, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying. Someone said, when is the sounding, Brother Pike? And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That makes it very obvious that when he sounds, it's the end of the world. When he sounds, it's the end of the world, because it says the kingdoms of the world, not the kingdoms of God now. We already have the kingdom of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom has been preached. And that was the kingdom of God. When he said here, time should be no more, he'll declare that time shall be no more. Swear to, by him that time should be no longer. We're looking again at Calvary. For the Bible said, you are the people upon whom the fullness of time has come, or that is, the end of the world has come. For the Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might gather all things into Christ, as it was with the ark of Noah. All things went into the ark, creeping things, whatever it was, flying things, there was a place for all of it. And God has poured out of his Spirit upon all flesh, and he's placed the blood upon the seat of atonement to take away all sins of all people, even the worldly people, for at least a dispensational period, which means he's gathered them all into his control. It says the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of this world, not the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God is within you if you are a believer. But the kingdoms of this world, which belongs to the children of this world, our children, at this moment. It belongs to them. We have the kingdom of God within us, but they have the kingdoms of the world. The money powers and all these great riches, the authorities to do things, they have the kingdoms of the world. But see, we're not just going to take the kingdom of God. We only have the kingdom of God inwardly to prepare us to where we can be in the condition to take the kingdoms of the world. But we're going to take the kingdoms of the world. So it says, in the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. When are we going to take the kingdoms of the world? When this trumpeter starts, when this trumpet sounds, this is the message that will take the kingdoms of the world. My, I wish you could understand what I'm saying. Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? I wish you could understand what I'm saying. So it is that at this time also, when the trumpet sound, there's something else that takes place. For if you'll notice right here, it says here that seven thunders uttered their voice, and John wanted to write it. If he had written it down, I would have it where I could read it to you here in the book of Revelation, because this is his writings. But the Lord said no, no. Someone would say, well, that's sad. Now nobody knows what the thunder said. No, that's not right. See, if John was going to write them down, then he knew what they were saying. He had to know what they were saying, or he could not have written them down. He was fixing to write them when the voice said no. See that you write them not. Now, everything that is secret belongs to God. But the Bible said that which is revealed belongs to man. That has been revealed to John. Though obviously God sealed it up to the extent that John, no doubt, when he come back out of the anointing, could not remember it, because it was sealed up. See, God said to Daniel, seal it up. That is, Daniel, it is sealed up to the extent that you won't be able to understand it. But in the days of John, the same vision that Daniel saw, that God told him to seal up, that same vision came to John. God said, John, see that you seal it not. It is time. The time is at hand. The rent veil is at hand. The opening of the seals is now at hand. Don't seal it up. But in the seven thunders, he said, seal it up. So then it was sealed up. The seven thunders was sealed up. Now, the thing is, what did the thunders have to do with? It makes it real obvious here as to what they had to do with. It has to do with the war in heaven. I brought this out a number of times. Thunders are in heaven. It's very obvious that that's what it is, because it says right here
the seven thunders uttered their voices. God would not let John write it. He said, but in the days of the voice. Now the seven thunders is a mystery. And he said in the days of the voice, the mystery would be finished. So here John is, this angel that's going to sound here, this last one, he's going to make known the mysteries of God, which means he has to make known the mysteries of the seven thunders, or else the mysteries aren't finished. There'll still be something that is a mystery. And it's very obvious that this is what it has to do with, because it says here that in the days of the voice, that the mystery of God should be finished. He said, write not the seven thunders. So Revelation 11:15, the days of the voice of the seventh angel comes. So the seventh angel begins to sound, and immediately what happens? The Bible said there's war in heaven. So it's obvious that as he begins to sound, making known this about the war in heaven, that he's making known this about the thunders. Because in heaven, what causes war in heaven is when thunderheads come together. When dark clouds and light clouds come together, hot and cold come together, then we got a clash. All of a sudden the friction starts, the lightning comes. See, that's war in heaven. And war in heaven as to the natural is war in heaven as to the spiritual and a type. Everything has to have a type. Everything has a counterpart. All of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear. The Bible said even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. So then we see that there is war in heaven. There is war in heaven. See, just as quick as he begins to sound, the war in heaven comes. Revelation 10, it says in the days when he sounds. Revelation 11, it says when he sounded. Revelation 12, it said, and there was war in heaven. And it was the expulsion, it was the casting out of Lucifer. So then what was the seven thunders? It was the casting out of Lucifer. That's what God did in the seven thunders. John did not write them down because this was left for the end time. Someone would say, how could he have written those things down, Brother Pike, being the casting out of Lucifer, because it had not yet happened. And here he's writing these things down, but it has happened. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. There at Calvary, there was war in heaven. There was war in heaven. And Jesus cast Lucifer out. The fulfillment of Daniel's vision. When those angels came down, or the angel came down and the angels came out to fight against the angel of God. See, there was war in heaven. It was the same vision. Here is the book of Revelation, the same thing that Daniel saw. And so then there was war in heaven. Here is a great war. Michael and his angels fought, and the devil and his angels fought. And the Bible said Lucifer was cast out, and there was found no place anymore in heaven for Satan. So then, that means that God is going to force Lucifer out of his spiritual hiding place and make him manifest himself in a human body, which is going to bring Antichrist. And the thing is that it's Michael that brings about this war. Someone would say, I don't believe there's any connection, Brother Pike, between John and between Daniel. Well, why is it that it says in the book of Daniel? Go back there and read it. And go and look into the 12th chapter. Go back there and read it. And you'll find out that it says, and in that day Michael shall stand for his people. And there shall be a great turbulence, a problem, such as never has been since the world was. So then it's obvious that here in Daniel is Michael getting ready for war. And here in John is an expose. And sure enough, Michael starts his war. And the Bible said that Satan is cast out of heaven and his angels are cast out with him. And the Bible said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. Did you know that the battle of Calvary brought Satan out of the heavenly places? And he was cast out. He was cast out, though you don't see that, though you don't experience that, because you are not in the spirit. You don't understand. But nevertheless, the Lord cast him out. He cast him out. And then the Bible said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. How many of you know that the devil is now in the earth, that he is among you? How do you understand that? He's in the earth now. He's among you. Someone would say, Brother Pike, that's not what that means. Yes, that's exactly what that means. The spiritual application is that he is living in human bodies today. The devils live in human bodies today. That's why Jesus cast 7 devils out of Mary Magdalene. See, because devils live in human bodies. They've been cast out into the dry places, into the dark places. That's the intellectual ignorance. And they are seeking to get back into the presence of God. And they cannot get into the presence of God unless they do one thing. And that is, as in the days of Job. See, when the devil gets inside of a human being, that human being comes to church right there in the presence of God. That human being is in the days of grace when the blood's on the seat of atonement. And as long as the blood's on the seat of atonement, the devil can live in that human being. And that devil doesn't have to wander through dry places. But if you go cast the devil out of an individual, the Bible said he wanders through dry places. He seeks rest and he can't find it. And then he comes back to that same body that he was driven out of. And the Bible said he cannot go in, because to cast him out, the body had to be cleaned up. The body is then garnished. It is cleansed. That is sanctified. Once it's sanctified, he can't go back in there. Now, when you're sanctified, I said the other night, you better get the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Because if you don't, the devil is coming back. He come back, he found it garnished and swept and clean, and he couldn't enter in. The Bible said he went his way and got 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. He came back, he forced his way into that body. That is, whereas one spirit may harass your mind with one thing, when 7 begins to harass your mind, one will come this way, one will entice you with this, one will trip you on this side, and after a while they wear you down, and the devil just flocking to you like a bunch of blackbirds. If you'll ever notice, a lion, when they go to kill, as a rule, they don't kill by themselves. They'll take 2, and they'll go in pairs, and if it's a zebra or whatever they're going to kill, one will approach from this side and one will approach from this side. Because a lion can be killed just as easily as any other prey. You know, just as easily as the prey that they're going after, they can be killed. But if they hunt in pairs and they get them on both sides, they escape. See, devils, that is, the lions escape the harm. The devils come and they harass your mind. But I have the power, and you have the power, to put 1,000 devils to flight. As Brother Thomas said, draw nigh to God, get filled with the Spirit, and then resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. So then, when those devils close in on you, I have the power to put 1,000 to flight. If I happen to look out and see 5,000 or 6,000, I say, Brother Taylor, because the Bible said 2 will put 10,000 to flight. And if it gets more than that, then we'll have to say, Brother Thomas, and we'll have to get together. Isn't that right? Like the Bible said, 2 of you touching anything on earth agreeing in this, it'll be done. I know a lot of people. They say, well, I've touched things, Brother Pike. I've touched this, and we've agreed on it, but it didn't come to pass. But you didn't agree on it. All you did, you had an intellectual agreement. You had an intellectual get together as you said, this is going to happen. But that wasn't what God said. If you can get 2 upright in heart that can spiritually be godly and holy in an agreement toward that thing God said, you say it, I'll do it. He'll do it every time. It'll never fail. So then that makes me to know that we have power. We have power to resist the devils, and the devils flee from us. We want to get the devils out of the church. Get the devils out of the human body. Get the devils away from the things that we're doing for God. Isn't that right? That's what God wants us to do. So then this war in heaven that we're speaking of, all of this war, where is this war at? It's in the church. It's in a place in the church that is a heavenly place. It is a heavenly place. But Satan has been cast out. See, he's been cast out. He's in the earth. He's in human bodies. What does he do? The Bible said he's climbed up into the upper chambers. See, he had to be cast out to climb up. The Bible said the serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel. So then he's climbed up into the upper lintel. He's got into the human beings. He's got up into the upper echelon of the world. And we're wrestling against spiritual powers, wicked things in high places. High places, powers and authorities of the earth. And we're wrestling against those things because Satan has fortified his kingdom and he's got in there. But we're on his trail. We're the children of God. All of this belongs to us. Every bit of the creation of the earth belongs to us. Heaven and earth belongs to us. And we're on the devil's trail now. We're on his trail. We're closing in on him. Why? Because we're going to bind him for 1,000 years, put him into the bottomless pit, so that the restoration of the kingdom of God can come into the earth and the will of God can be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. So this is what this is all about. There is war in heaven. War in heaven. This time there is a war in that he hath climbed up into the upper lintel. There is a war. See, there is a war at Calvary. God cast his Lucifer out. He's gone out. God has cast him out. See, and he's not in your heart anymore. He's not in the realms of heaven anymore. The kingdom of God is within you. The world is taken out. And then when you come down past Calvary over Revelation 12, here we see this war. What is it? This time it has to do with the Jews. Because over here it's a spiritual Jew. It's the saints of God. And the world can't see that. We see that. We know that. But over here, all of a sudden, it's made manifest. So over here, we say this is potential, and over here, it actually happens. Because that's speaking concerning the flesh. The potentiality over here, and over here, it's actually brought to pass. So, we're made to know that there is war in heaven, because you and I are dwelling in heaven. We're dwelling in heaven. And the devil is living in human bodies in the day of grace, which is the second heaven. And it's up to you and I to purge out the old leaven. It's up to you and I to cut off the corrupt limb. It's up to you and I to get it out of the church. Someone would say, Brother Pike, we're not supposed to pluck up the tares, we'll get the wheat. Jesus said that. He said, leave them alone in the field and let them grow in the field. But he said, the field is the world. Let them grow together, our children in the world. He said, but in the church, purge out the old leaven. Be a new lump. Cut off the dead limb. And he said, people that are doing ugly, turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of judgment. I say this so often. Every time I get to that crossing right there, I always say this. People get frustrated. They say God is wanting us to turn certain ones over to the devil, so that the devil can wreck them in the flesh. In that way, he can save their soul in the end. Folks, that's not Bible. That's not Bible at all. That's not what the Bible was saying. Not at all. He was saying, get the corrupt person out of the church. A little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. Take that person out. Turn them over to the devil and let the devil destroy that person. The devil gets rid of that person. Their soul isn't going to be saved. Where do we get this crazy idea that we can do evil and wickedly and do all of those things and God's going to save our soul? Folks, you know better than that. If you've ever read your Bible, really read your Bible, you know better than that. Like somebody said, and I said this not too long ago, one of the leading preachers on the field told me that God saved Ananias and Sapphira's soul. They didn't just let the devil destroy their body. You know that isn't right. That's a lie. The man didn't mean to tell a lie, but that's a lie. God didn't save Ananias and Sapphira's soul. They lied to the Holy Ghost. If it had saved their soul, the scriptures would have been broken. The Bible said all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. They lied. How much more people had lied to the Holy Ghost? God killed them. That's what it was. Because of their evil doings. And folks, he'll kill you the same way. God will kill you the same way. He said, beware lest I tear you into pieces. He will pursue you, the Bible said, till you perish from off of the face of the earth. For he said, the prayer of the wicked is abomination in my sight. The offering of the wicked is abomination in my sight. There is no peace to the wicked. In the book of Jeremiah, he said, these prophets, he said, I don't like these prophets. He said, they prophesy lies in my name. He said, they tell people that's contrary to my will and people that do evil, that they don't have to worry. There's not going to be any judgment coming. Everything's going to be all right. He said, I am against these prophets because they prophesy lies in my name. He said that these people that do wickedly, I will destroy these people. And the man that stands up and tells them that God won't destroy them is a liar. He said, I am against those prophets. He said, they prophesy and they run to and fro. And they say, God says, when God has not spoken. He said, they say, thus saith the Lord, when God hasn't said anything at all. He said, if they had stood in my counsel, and if they'd have made the people to hear my word, he said, then they would have turned the people away from their evil and away from their unrighteous doings, and then God would have blessed them. But folks, you can be sure that, as the Bible said, God shall in no wise acquit the wicked. He's going to make them pay for their sins. That's why I said a little bit early. You might go out. You might come back in. But you still got to pay for your sins. It doesn't matter what you do. You got to pay for your sins. If Brother Pike goes out or come back, I got to pay for my sins. God isn't going to acquit the wicked. Grace will not override willful sin. There is no grace for willful sin. It does not override. See, the Bible says when you do wickedly, and you go out there and do the things of the world when you know to do good, said there is only a looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. Said, for there is no more sacrifice for sin. When you know better, you got to pay. You got to pay. So then we see that there's a great war. Right now that war is setting in. This angel, Revelation 11, it says, and he will sound, and it will be a great woe. That is war, problems, heartache, sorrows. Say, how can that be, Brother Pike? Read it. Revelation 11, he sounds. What happens? All of a sudden, the Bible says that the kingdom of Antichrist is filled with darkness. They gnaw their tongues for pain. They're in such misery when after this angel starts sounding, they're in such great misery that they literally gnaw their tongues for pain. Their kingdom is filled with darkness. The Bible says their bodies are filled with balls and sores, and all these horrible things come upon them. Where the Bible said, you pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that are coming on the earth. Because that is the things that's coming on the earth when that angel sounds. See, once he finishes the mystery, let's just look at it for just a few minutes. Once he finishes the mystery, what does it mean? It means the end of the world. Why do I say it means the end of the world? Because the world is a mystery. See, this is a lying vanity around you. It's a great mysterious thing. And when you finish the mystery, it means that you have unveiled the spiritual. Because the thing that is a mystery is the spiritual, which you cannot see. Anything that I can't see, I don't understand, it's a mystery to me. And the spirit world, you don't understand the spirit world except through the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God knoweth no man. The things of God knoweth no man. So then the things of God will not come to a man's spirit. You must have the Spirit of God to get the things of God. Now, the things of man will come to man's spirit as to the knowledge, the saw and nail and whatever he does and his skill. But I must have the Spirit of God if I'm going to have the things of God to come to my spirit. Because the Spirit of God, the things of God, they relate one to another. But the things of God does not relate to a man's spirit. That's why a lot of people never get revelation, because they don't have God's Spirit. See, the Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. I know that they get some kind of concoction in their mind. They call it revelation. And they talk about what God's told them. But I'm speaking of really being in touch with God. And having God to speak to you. Having God, as Brother Thomas said, I don't want to go unless God tells me to go. Like Joshua said, don't send me up to battle, God, unless your presence go before me. I don't want to go out to battle unless God's presence is with me. I don't feel that zip and run and go. I want to move in the Spirit. When God says go, I'm ready. When God says stay, I'm going to stay. When the cloud moved, Israel moved. When the cloud stayed, Israel stayed. I want to do what God says do. That way you always win the battle. Amen. You always win the battle. There's no record where Israel ever moved at the leadership of God but what they won the battle.
Always they won the battle. But when they did evil and moved on their own, even when they, as Achan, when he stole the golden wedge, you remember, there's problems. So then there's problems when you go aside from God. I want to go according to God. There's a great battle breaking forth, and you and I are right in the midst of it. We are children of God. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. We've got our sword, and the Bible said, cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. See, raise your sword up against your fellow. Somebody said, but he's my friend, he's my neighbor, he's my brother, she's my sister. It doesn't make any difference. This is the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, as it is said. This is the sword of you and of the Lord. And you may have to slay your brother. You may have to slay your sister. It might be as two in the bed, one taken and one left, as a man and a wife. It might be as two in the field laboring as Cain and Abel, one taken and one left. See, and you might have to run your fellow through, as it was when Moses came down off of the mountain there, when he said, whoever's with me, strap the sword on and let's go. And they begin to slay the people, even their fellow. So then this is the time of war. This is the time of decision for God. We've got to make a decision for God. He said there'll come a day when you prophesy about the burden of the Lord and you go about telling somebody that you're a prophet. He said your own mother and daddy will be commanded to stone you to death and kill you. Because this is the great day of the Lord. There is no burden of the Lord. He said, woe unto them that say, the burden of the Lord. What kind of burden is there to serving God? He said, my burden is light. My burden is easy. See, my yoke is easy. My yoke is light. There's no burden to serving God. Them people talk about the burden of the Lord. They come to you and they say, boy, I've been at this 30 years. I'm tired and I'm weary, but I'm still fighting the battle. Glory to God, it's a burden. But we got to shove on. Folks, there ain't no days like that. There ain't no days like that. People are perverted in their mind when they do that. You come up just like Brother Thomas did, said, hallelujah, glory to God, no burden anymore. And the man that prophesies a burden causes a problem among my people. This is the day of the liberation. This is the day of life. This is the day of the blessing of God. This is the day of your triumph. There is no burden to you. Why do you do that? Somebody's going to have to go on a 20-day fast. I got to push this heavy burden off. Bless your heart, you don't have any burden to push off. You're just having strong delusions. That's all that's wrong with you. And 20 days from now, you're going to be in the same condition. Let me tell you something. I would lay my life on the fact that you're never going to make 20 days. Let's praise God. Amen, that's right. You're never going to make 20 days. Not in that kind of condition. There is no burden to serving God. There is no one that has the burden that serves God. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, you must be eccentric. You must be beside yourself. Paul said, if so, I'm beside myself because I'm serving the Lord. Because of Christ, and I'm beside myself. This thing wasn't done in a corner. There is no one that had the burden of the Lord. Somebody said, well, you just ain't been down in my house. You don't know what kind of load I carry. God bless your little heart. We'll pray for you. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. The Bible said, pray one for another. Somebody said, you just don't know the load that I carry. Yes, I know the load you're carrying. He said, well, what is it, Brother Pike? It's the load of the devil. Let's give the Lord a hand. And if you'll empty that garbage out and if you'll get out from under that. Somebody said, well, my Savior took his cross. I know he did. And you know why he took it? Because of your foolishness and my foolishness. If we had done right, he wouldn't have to have carried it. He was taking our sins to Calvary. That's why he took it to Calvary. So that I didn't have to carry it. Let's say it. Let's give him another hand. I said he took it to Calvary so I wouldn't have to carry it. Hallelujah. So then what is it with God? Serving God is joy, peace, righteousness, and the Holy Ghost. I might say, well, I'm happy, Brother Pike, but it's a burden. There ain't no days like that. Ain't no days like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've got the victory, and that's all there is to it. I've got the victory today. I had the victory yesterday. Going to have the victory tomorrow. For God said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you got faith in God? Have you got faith in God? You got the victory. Expected to have any faith in God tomorrow? How many expected to have faith in it? Got the victory. Got the victory. Going to have victory tomorrow. Isn't that right? Praise God. Don't go around telling folks, Come out there to Bethlehem and get under this load with us. Get under this burden. They take all we got out there and we can't hardly make it, but you come on, we're going to shove. And after a while, maybe something will come forth. God bless your little heart. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. There ain't no burdens like that. Hallelujah. This is a heavenly place out here. This is the place where we love the Lord and we do things for God. Did you know the only cross that I will ever carry or you will ever carry? The only cross that you will ever carry. What he said, take up your cross and follow me. That's right. The only cross that you'll ever take up. The only cross that you'll ever carry is self-denial, that you'll do it on your own for Christ. Somebody, I'm sick and broke down. I'm trying to glorify God. Oh, hallelujah. No. I say again, there ain't no days like that. You might be sick and broke down because the devil's riding you like a horse and you give him a chance to do it. The Bible said, don't give place to the devil. But folks, there is no cross to God except the cross that you take up to the extent that you deny your old belly and fast a little bit. You get down and deny yourself at night and take away a little of your sleep and pray a little bit. You take out of your hip pocket and you give to the widow and you give to the orphan and deny yourself a little bit as to the convenience that you would have in the world. Now that's the cross of Christ. That's when the world sees Christ. Did you know that? Somebody said, now he didn't have to do that. Why did he do that? Said he must have something that he's looking to. Said, why did he do that? I did that for Jesus. You know, but you come up and you broke down, you're dragging along and you can't hardly go, and somebody says, what's wrong with you? So I'm doing this for the Lord. You know you're lying. You're begging and pleading and blaming God and everything else to try to get out from under. There ain't a one of you, but what ain't said, oh God, this is more than I can bear. Get me out from under this, Lord. You say, I'm sick and I'm just suffering patiently for God. You know you're lying. You're lying by the clock. Because you are doing everything you can, from the pill bottle to the doctor, to get out from under it. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on, folks, let's tell it like it is. Hallelujah, that's the way it is. You know you got the pill bottle, and you got everything else, and you're trying to get out from under it. There ain't no Jobs in this day. Somebody said, I'm like poor Job, I'm just suffering, God's killing me. You know better than that. You know better than that. You know, I'm like Job, somebody says. You're not like Job, you're like Jonah. I said, you're like Jonah. That's where the problem comes from. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. How have you got the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hand. Praise God. See, God don't want us moping along like a bunch of dying folks. We need to do something for God. If a man over 80 years old can stand up here in the way he does and preach the gospel and testify after 80-something years that God still has life and blessings, who are we to come moping along at 35 and 40 and say, oh my God, oh my God. What is God going to do about something like that? Somebody said, well, that's just Brother Thomas. He was just lucky. There ain't no luck in this world. All I ever had's bad if it was any year. That's right. So, it ain't just Brother Thomas. He said he'd give the same thing to all of us. Said, what I say to one, I say to all. I'm no respect of person. Brother Thomas dared to try to live right and believe God, so that brought the blessings upon him, folks. A lot of us stagger and stumble every which way, and we've got all kinds of things in our heart, as I said this morning, and that causes God to have to back off from us. Our iniquities have separated between us and our God. The Bible said, my hand is not short, that it cannot reach you or save you, but it's thine iniquities that have separated between thee and thy God and held thee back or kept thee back from good things. He said, if you will honor me, and I remind you of this again, I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. Come on, folks, I quote that to you all the time. Somebody says, well, I believe that because I listen to it. Well, why is it you're in the low places all the time? Why don't you get up in the high places? If you really believe that, why hasn't God placed you in the high places? The Bible said the word of God can't be altered or changed. How could you believe that? I'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. Somebody says, I listen to you faithful, Brother Pike. Come on, folks.
with all your grunts and groans and everything else. I follow you faithful, Brother Pike. I know that God said that, and I believe every word of it myself. Well, why are you so ragged and run down, so poor and pushed aside? Why are you in the decrepitive state of mind that you are and in the condition that you're in, if you believe what I'm saying? Come on, folks. Somebody said, tell it like it is. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. I'm the God that healeth thee. I heal all of your diseases. And though there's many afflictions to the righteous, yet God delivereth him out of every one of them. Every one of them. Hallelujah. He's our Savior, our righteousness. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I'll make your beds in the time of your sickness. My blessing will make you rich. Come on, poor folks. Come on, poor folks. I believe every word of it somebody says. Come on, poor folks. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I wish I was rich. Got a chance to be rich now. Somebody said, there you go, preaching riches. That's what I'm doing. I'm preaching riches. The Bible said it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. I said to get wealth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like the woman said about the banana, she was so ashamed when one day she felt like God couldn't give her any banana because she was in a prison camp. And the next day they threw 92 bananas into her. She was so ashamed she didn't know what to say. And she gave the testimony, why does God's people do like they do? When God can bring 92 bananas to a prisoner, all we got to do is believe God. All somebody said, well, what's the problem? The problem is your iniquities. You won't live right. You won't do right. You won't deny self. You won't lay aside the things of the world so that God can get to you, and God can't fellowship iniquity. It was proven at Calvary when Jesus was smitten that God could not get to him because of iniquity. See, God had walked with Jesus all the time that he was in this world. Not one time did he leave him or forsake him. Not one time, isn't that right? But the very minute that he went to Calvary and he was made my sin, that iniquity got between him and God, and the sun became his darkest sackcloth of hair. God withdrew from him and a voice cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I could say it was because of the sins of Brother Pike. That's why he forsook him, so that he wouldn't have to forsake me and you. Willingly he gave up his life. He said, no man taketh my life from me, I lay it down. This commandment I have of my Father, I can lay it down or I can take it up. Give me a few more minutes and we're going to let you go. So then if we believe this word of God, the Bible said not one good promise of God has ever failed. It's line upon line and precept upon precept, and not one lacketh its mate. It is here a little and there a little, line upon line and precept upon precept, and we have the blessings of God. When we believe, it happens to us. Folks, when it don't happen to us, it's because we don't believe. We don't believe. That's right. We let the devil talk us out of it. Isn't that right? Come on, let me have some amens up here. You said you believe this good old message. Hallelujah. Do you really believe this message? All right. Let's come on out. Let's say amen. Let's believe it. Let's walk with God. Let's use this. The Bible said the Jews had the word of God, but it did not profit them that heard it because it wasn't mixed with faith. Can be said of little Bethlehem that we have the word of God, but it doesn't profit because it's not mixed with faith. Is that right? Or can it be said of little Bethlehem, we've got the word of God and we're going to mix faith with it, and glory to God, we're going to take the kingdoms of this world for God. Hallelujah. I said, we're going to take the kingdoms of this world for God. If you believe that, say hallelujah. Come on, folks. Say hallelujah. Praise God. Now, you're beginning to make me believe that maybe you are going to take it. You know, All of us get together and we go uptown and we walk down the main street up there and go around the courthouse chanting like a bunch of wild Indians saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, around the walls of Jericho, glory to God. We're going to holler and scream and march till they fall down and we're going to take the kingdoms for God. I got a feeling that we could take part of it because some of them be so scared they'd run like wild Indians to get out of our way. They think Bethlehem had gone crazy. That's right. They think his folks has gone stark raving mad. Somebody said, well, you can't do that. Yeah, you can get permission to go uptown and have services right on the courthouse square. All we got to do is get a long chain of them where we do it every day. After a while, they'll move out of the courthouse. They'll move out of the courthouse. You love the Lord? So then we see that this angel was to sound. What is it? It means trouble. It means problems. It means war in heaven. That war in heaven, that was the thunders. When those clouds come together, that's war in heaven. That's why God gave the tornadoes and all of this problem in the elements. It's a type. War in heaven. See, war in heaven. It's got to be war in heaven. It can't go on like it's going, folks. Even Brother Thomas, over 80 years old, he said, I'm tired of them churches. I done preached to them for 56 years. I'm tired of it. Don't you know God's tired of it? When God's man talks like that, it means God's tired of it. He's tired of it. 56 years, he said, he's pleaded with them people. See, God's tired of that. Now he said, well, what are you going to do, preacher? He's going to raise up the sword. Somebody said, well, you're going to quit preaching. No, there won't be no days like that. A real genuine preacher don't ever quit preaching. Never. Brother Thomas will be preaching as long as he can get a word out of his mouth. There ain't no way he can stop. Ask his wife and see. Just ask a preacher's wife. Why he preaches to her when he ain't got nobody else to preach to. He preaches to her. That's what keeps her in good shape. That's what keeps her in good shape. He preaches to her all the time. So then, what does that mean to you and I? It means that the sword is fixing to come, folks. The sword is fixing to come. The minister of God, the Bible said he beareth not the sword in vain. He is God's minister set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. And when that minister keeps pleading and keeps pleading and keeps pleading, after a while, he gets tired of that and he says, you bunch of reprobates, and he does like Jesus. When Jesus reached back and got the whip, planted the whip, turned over the money tables and began to drive them out of the house of God. There was war in that temple. He flipped over them tables, he got that whip, and he started a little war in there, and he said, my Father's house is supposed to be called of all nations the house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. The Bible said the thief cometh but to steal, to kill. He's a robber. You've made it a den of thieves. And he turned over the tables and he began to pop the whip. Pop the whip. Judgment is at hand. You say, how do you know this? Because the Bible said in the days of the voice of that angel, it's woe. Woe, woe. It's going to be problems. It's going to be problems. The finishing of the mystery, of course, we can't go into Revelation on this tonight, but the finishing of the mystery is the end of the world. Because a mystery is something you don't understand. And that means that the heavenly bodies and the heavenly government and the heavenly orders is a mystery. But it has to be made manifest. It has to come forth. Just like your spirit is a mystery. I've not been around you. I've not seen the way that you conduct your life. Your life is a mystery to me. But if I stay around you long enough, your spirit's going to manifest what it is in that human body. It's going to do whatever it is. If it's an old, ugly spirit, it's going to turn that body into corruption. If it's a God spirit, it's going to turn that body into a heavenly thing and bring a glorification to it in praising the name of the Lord. So then that means that's where we're at. There's war in heaven. Things is beginning to happen. The devil is fixing to go out in the sense that as the human body is going to go out with him this time. See, as to the spiritual side of it, Lucifer, and those angelic beings, it's only reflectors, and him being the head of it as a reflector, out into the darkness. That means when God withdraws, they are in darkness. The same way with the blood on the seat of atonement. Just as quick as God withdraws as to taking the blood off the seat of atonement, there won't be any second heaven. There won't be any second heaven anymore. Somebody said, but the woman's in the second heaven, Brother Pike, there with the devil and with those angels. That's where the war is. I know that because the devil has made him a place. He's made him a place between heaven and earth. And he's got his little blackmail scheme going. But the Bible said the child was caught up to the third heaven. He was caught up to the third heaven and the devil went out into the earth. And so then the woman went into the wilderness, says to Israel. That means that second heaven is gone. See, that second heaven is gone. The devil can get back up there as long as the second heaven. But when there's no second heaven, he can't get to that third heaven anymore. Did you know that? Somebody said, he's been into the third heaven. No, he hasn't been into the third heaven. If he had been into the third heaven, God would have to destroy it too. But he did come before God. He did come before God. That means he did get into the heavens. In the days of Job, the Lord said, Satan, where have you been? He said, going to and fro on the earth. Going to and fro in the earth. Sound like he's in the earth. Somebody says he's bound. Somebody else said, well, I sure hate to be here when he got loose. If he's bound now, I sure hate to be here when he got loose. I'll tell you, he's not bound. You know he's not bound. He's loose, going to and fro in the earth, walking among the stones of fire. These jewels are stones of fire. And he's walking among the stones of fire, to and fro in the earth, among the jewels of God. All right. Do you believe then that God can bring forth the light and finish the mystery? He can bring forth that from the invisible and finish the mystery. When that light comes forth, then that means that this which is natural is swallowed up and gone. The sun causes the veil to dissipate. Once the lying vanities of life, the Bible said all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Once the light comes, it'll be so bright, the consummation will utterly do away with all things. As in the days of the coming of the Ancient of Days, and the Bible said, not even the mountains shall remain, for the mountains shall disappear, the earth shall disappear, the heavens shall disappear. Why? Because this great mind of revelation is the power of consummation. It's coming forth now. It's coming forth. And in the coming forth, it's bringing in a new world. That's the finishing of the mysteries. As this light, as light to light, glory to glory, understanding to understanding, that this light is coming forth, Christ within you, the hope of glory, God suddenly appearing within his temple to make all the world come and kneel at your feet to know that he's loved you. All of a sudden it's coming forth. It is a consummation of those accusing powers, accusations. Let me say this to you tonight. Remember, folks, the devil don't live in your body if you are a Christian. You know, don't get the idea that the devil's in your body and God's on the inside of you. And there's a continual warfare because the devil is in your body. Because Paul said, within my flesh dwelleth no good thing. If you do that, the devil will have him a lodging place. The devil has been cast out of my spirit. And the veil has been rent in twain. Which means my body and my spirit has been separated. When you say twain, it means body and spirit. Lord and Christ. It's been rent in twain. That is, the spirit has been separated from the body. And the body, because it's of the world and of the first man, Adam, has to pay the penalty of death, so it's buried in the water. Consider yourself to be dead by the body of Jesus. Jesus actually died to keep you from dying, literally. So then you are dead because of the body. Because of sin, the body had to be killed. So the Bible said, because of sin, the body's dead. But your spirit went back to God who gave it. It's dwelling in the heavenly places. It's hid with Christ in God because it is related to the spirit as the body is related to the flesh. Satan, having dominion over the world, would have dominion over the body. So God killed the body, done away with the body, told you to forsake the body, mortify the deeds of the body, come out from among the people that's in the body. See, because the body has to be dead because it relates to the world. It's born of Adam. There's no way it can get into the kingdom of God. I hope you can understand this, and I won't take but a few minutes, but I do want you to listen just for a few minutes more. Remember this, that your body cannot come into the kingdom of God. Your body as it is cannot come into the kingdom of God. When I preach to you that you're in heaven, that you pass from death unto life, I am preaching to you of your spiritual inner man. That all of this has happened. And I tell you a lot of times, somebody says, what about the body? I say over and over again, why worry about the body? The Bible said the flesh profiteth nothing. Why drag around nothing? That's why God buried it, because it's nothing. You're free from the flesh. You don't have to mess with the flesh. It's over. You're now the bone of his bone and the flesh of his flesh. God sees you yonder from mountaintop to mountaintop. And over here he sees you as a finished product over here, changed into the lovely image of his son at the Thessalonian change. All of his works are known unto him from the beginning. You're the predestinated of God. Works finished in Christ. And what he wanted you to be, he made Christ to be that, so that you could believe and he would be made your sin, that you might be made his righteousness. So then the body relates to the earth. Satan hath power over the earth because he is the prince of this world. And as long as that body is alive, then he can probe at the inner man. That's why God killed it. That cut him off. And then God put a breach between the body and the spirit. He sealed the spirit with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is your seal unto the day of the redemption of your body, the chains. Thessalonians chains. So your spirit is sealed so that Satan can never touch you, because you means the inner man. Because the outer man is just the house that you live in. And the Bible said you will be judged according to the deeds you have done while you tabernacle in this body. So then God tabernacled in a human body. He folded it up and laid it away so that the law could never touch it anymore. And in doing it, that means that the law can never touch us anymore. So then my inner man is free from the law of sin and death. I'm sealed. The evil one can never touch me because I'm in heaven. I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. So then he can never get nigh my dwelling. All those things fall around me and can't come out near my dwelling. So the body is dead because of sin. So I don't have to worry about the body. How do you understand what I'm saying? He rent the veil in two. He separated the spirit from the body. And that were related to the world that belonged to Lucifer. The first man, Adam all died. He buried it. That ended it. Death is gone. Now that which belongs to Christ, he said, the second man, the quickening spirit, I came from heaven, I go back to heaven. You came from the earth, to the earth you'll go back to. So then I came from heaven, folks. Some says, Brother Pike, how could you have come from heaven? The Bible said John was a man sent from God. Tell me how he was sent from God, and I'll tell you how I came from heaven. How can you come from heaven? Because in the foreknowledge of God, you're elect. That means that you was in heaven. You were in his loins before the world ever was. You was in the mind of God. You was a created being, and what God saw you according to foreknowledge perfected forever. And when you came to live in this little body down here, to go through school and to take your training, to come to your diplomacy. And folks, we're getting near the graduation. Let's give the Lord a hand. I said, we're getting near the diplomacy. Everything's working out. So then God has killed that body that he might not never see it again. It's not in God's sight anymore. He buried it. That's the end of it. That's the end of sin. And your spirit is in the presence of God. He rent the veil in twain. So in coming in Revelation 19, he'll bring the saints with him. That is, we that are hid with Christ in God. We're hid with Christ, so when Christ comes, we'll come out of our hiding with him on the white horses. You understand what I'm saying? A lot we could say tonight, take a long time to say it. We're not going to go into that. But I'm just telling you that we don't have to worry about those things. We are sealed. The mystery of God, when it is finished, that means the end of it. The consummation will come. That's why the bright light changes us at the coming of the Lord Jesus, even before the Ancient of Days comes. We which are alive and remain, and really we're not alive, only in the spirit. Our bodies are not alive. They'll be resurrected as from the dead, the watery grave, just like the dead coming out of the graves. For the ocean is a burial ground. So then we which are alive and remain shall not exceed the dead in Christ. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. They shall be resurrected. We that are alive shall be changed, caught up to meet with the Lord, so we will ever be with him. So then that means that the mystery is coming to a close. At the close of the mystery, at the finishing of the mystery, that means there's no more world. Because the only thing that makes a mystery is there is a lying vanity, a world of divination,
That is a world of vanity. And this world of vanity is preeminent and predominant over the spiritual world in that you can't see the spiritual world. And Satan predominantly rules over you through the weakness of your body. But he can't rule over me. Because though Paul said within the body there's no good thing, my body is dead. And when my body died, he can't mess with it. There's nothing he can do to stir my inner man. It's dead. It's dead. It doesn't matter about his vain jinglings and those kind of things. How does it matter? Somebody says, but Brother Pike, if he was dead, you wouldn't hear those things. Abraham's body's over yonder. I told you we visited with Abraham and Sarah's body. Right there laying in the tomb, but Abraham was doing the talking when he talked to the rich man in hell. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody says, yes, but that's a different case. How different is it? How many of you believe that Abraham's with God? Come on, how many of you believe Abraham's with God? How many of you believe that you're with God? Hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. The heavens received Abraham, the heavens received me too. That's why John saw those brethren in the book of Revelation and was about to worship them. Because when that door was open, his eyes come open and he saw. Folks, if your eyes come open tonight, the Bible said where two or three are in his name, he's in the midst. The Bible said the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that love the Lord, that fear him, they're here tonight. All of these things are here because this is heaven. This is heaven. It's the second heaven. But it's heaven. With you and I that have been born again, we're not in the second heaven. The body's in the second heaven. That's where the woman was. The bodily part that's travailing. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. The woman was in the second heaven. That's where the devil is. Under the blood in a human body. The old red dragon, the blood life. Sure. But you and I are in the third heaven. We're in the third heaven. Now, you say, what do you mean by that? I mean that on the inside of the wound of this body, see, until the child is born into the world, it's safe from the world. It's away from the world. The life is away from the world. And the Bible said the very minute that it's born, it's caught up into the heavens. The very minute that you're born again, that inner man of yours went right into the kingdom of God, which kingdom is within you. So it's within the kingdom of God. But we're coming now to the redemption of the body where we won't sleep. Coming now to the change. So that the second heaven, at that, Lucifer goes out. Because when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, there is no more second heaven. He's got no place to be. Can't be anywhere. You understand what I'm saying? Because this only exists because of the blood that's on the seat of atonement. That's why he took away the sins of the mayor, the president, the leaders, the entertainers. That's why he took away the sins of the murderer, the harlot, and those kind of people out there. Only for a dispensational period. But we have the grace and the salvation that takes it away forever. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't mean to tell me that you think he took away the sins of that harlot and that murderer out there. The Bible said, while you were yet in your sins, Paul said, some of you were harlots. Some of you were fornicators before you were born again. While you were yet in your sins, he took yours away. If he's no respecter person, why didn't he take theirs away? Come on, folks. It is gone. Just as long as that blood is on the seat of atonement, it's gone. If it wasn't gone, God would literally tear the world into pieces. These people that's killing little children and all these kind of things, if God could see that one time, he'd wipe this world off of the map. He'd do away with it. He's looking through the blood of Jesus. Grace. Grace. Everybody's under the grace. But after a while, Lot goes out of Sodom and Gomorrah. That very day, fire and brimstone comes down. Why? Because according to the Bible, just as quick as the church goes out, God's angry with the wicked every day. Just as quick as the church goes out, no blood to cover them. That means there's no mercy and grace anymore. And God will plow their fields and destroy every one of them. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, let's stand together. A lot of things we'd say tonight, but we kept you quite a bit here. Didn't mean to keep you so long. Can we worship the Lord just a little bit now? The veil is rent in twain. Your outer man is dead because of sin. Your inner man is in heaven because of righteousness. So you don't have to worry anymore. The songwriter said, and I won't have to worry anymore. So you don't have to worry anymore because God has done away with your sins. That's why the Bible said, you that dwell in heaven, rejoice forevermore. If you're dwelling in heaven, then rejoice forevermore. Why not? Somebody said, if I ever get raptured, I'm talking to them folks that made it. I'm talking to them about them folks that's already made it, folks. Them that's already made it. He said, ye that dwell in heaven. Somebody says, well, what about my body? The flesh profiteth nothing. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Hallelujah. Don't go out robbing the graves. Just leave it alone. It'll take care of itself. I love the Lord. I'm glad that I'm in heaven. I'm glad that I passed from death into life and shall never come into condemnation. I'm glad that I'm able to keep myself in the evil one. Touch me not. That makes me his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He's coming back after me. Hallelujah. Somebody said, just as quick as these preachers preaches us into righteousness to the extent that if they keep on preaching, we're going to get better and better and better. Brother Thomas can tell you they're getting worse and worse and worse. The more we preach, the worse they are. Someone said, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's the way it is. The more you know, the less you do. And the less you do, the worse you are. Let's give the Lord a hand. Well, that's the way the world's going. Amen. That's what happened to the law. The law came and told them what they were, and they got worse. They died. But do not hide, for the law came. I was alive without the law. When the law came, sin revived, and I died. And yet it was righteous. So then, what are we doing? We're only revealing to the saints of God who they are and what they are and what they've always been as elect by foreknowledge, as to bring them now to their election. And the Bible said, Paul preaching, as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. The rest didn't. We're only bringing it out to the elect now, bringing their election out to let them know who they are and what they are. What does a preacher do? He only tells you what God's already done for you. What is the mind of Christ? The revealing of what God did for you before the world ever was. And through graduality, he reveals it to you. So the preacher is doing one thing. What is that? The Bible said they're set there for the perfecting of the saints. That is to preach them into righteousness. Yes, but not by putting away the filth of the flesh. Preach them into righteousness by preaching them the word of God, that they might know their benefits in detail and believe what the preachers say in perfecting the perfection of the saints. That is, Paul said, to perfect your faith. For it's by grace through faith that you're saved, and that not of works, not of yourself, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. So then we're here not preaching the merits of man, we're preaching the merits of Christ. I say again, someone say, but Brother Pike, why are you so strict? And you think we ought to fast, we ought to pray, we ought to do this, we ought to put away these evil things. Because the Bible said for you to do it. Someone says, well, that proves it right there. If you don't do it, you don't go to heaven. That's true. Someone says, well, that settles it. You have to do it to get to heaven. Doesn't have a thing to do with it. The reason you do that is because you can't take those things into heaven. God won't have them up there. You have to empty out before you leave here. You have to empty out before you leave here. God doesn't accept garbage in heaven. Do I do things like that that pleases God as to good things? I do. Someone said so that you can go to heaven. No, because I'm in heaven and heaven is in me. I say again, it's because the nature is in the tree that the apples come forth. The tree doesn't have to strain at all. The tree doesn't have to practice anything at all. It doesn't have to try to do anything at all. It's just the nature of the tree. See, good works come forth because I have Christ in me. And Christ brings forth good works. So then the good works is again his merits working within me to his own goodwill and pleasure. It is him in all. It is him in everything. It is him that's perfecting me. It is him that's cleansing me. It is him that is sanctifying me. That's why I go around saying hallelujah, glory to God, praise his name. Because he's doing it all. Not me. Not me. Someone will say, well, I think it's the man that's doing that. Well, if it's a man that's doing that, like Brother Thomas said about 57 years ago, they might have been able to accuse him of stealing chicken. If it's the man doing that, why didn't he do that before Christ come into him? Why did he steal the chicken, as we say? Before Christ come into him, why didn't he do those good works? Because it has nothing to do with him. Nothing at all. Somebody said, well, when you start doing right, God will save you. No. The Bible said God saved you while you were yet in your sins. When Christ died for you while you were yet in your sins by predestination, by foreknowledge, and then sent the preacher to preach to you and tell you the good things of Christ, glad tidings of great joy, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And when you heard about this, there was something inside of you that believed. You believed. Why? Because you're elect. If not, then why does the Bible say them that were ordained unto eternal life believe and the others did not? Because the Bible said all men don't have faith. All men can believe, but not have faith. Believing is with the head, but faith is with the heart. That's real believing. All right, so then the veil is rent in twain. The outer man is dead. He's gone. He's buried. The inner man is in heaven. You're doing good works? Sure you're doing good works. Why not? Somebody said, in what way if my man is dead and buried through the body of Jesus, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? The devil isn't in that body. The devil isn't dwelling in you. When Paul said within the flesh, he's speaking of before the birth. But he says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't give place to it. No, not for a minute. Don't let it rule in your body. Don't let it have any control. No matter what you hear, no matter what kind of accusations, no matter what kind of disturbance, no matter what kind of complex of mind, that has nothing to do with you. You're holy. Someone said, holy in spirit. The Bible said, be holy in body and spirit. You're holy in body too. His body is holy. His body is holy. He said, but it's my body. You never seen a dead man getting up, walking around, carrying his body around. You never seen that. All right. So then you are among the living, and you don't go looking for the dead among the living. There ain't no dead folks at Bethlehem. These are living folks. These are living folks. How many of you are alive? Life and more abundantly. So then this is not a graveyard. That graveyard was a dispute over what we just give up. This is the place of the living here. Can we sing together? Well, that's kind of hard for me to understand. I know the Bible said, great is the mystery of God. Great. It's going to be finished where you can't understand it. Pray God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Something is taking place, great and mighty. There are sons and daughters of God. There are gods. They are gods. They cannot sin like a man. Therefore, appointed unto man once to die, after that to judgment, they cannot die like a man. They've already died by Calvary. It's over. It's finished. The fullness of time came, and that was it. So then, being gods, you cannot die. Someone said, yet being gods, you shall die like men. That's true. As to die like men, because you have no knowledge of what you are. So then you can die to the extent that Jesus was God and he died. But saying that you're gods, you cannot die. You cannot die as to an eternal death, which is real death. You can go to sleep. That's not death. That's not death. That is sleep. So you cannot die. You pass from death unto life. You cannot die. And if you listen, even your body won't have to go to sleep because the day of redemption is near. Can you sing that? The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be still with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening. It's the signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered, with horrors encumbered. Soon eternity will unfold. For the day of redemption is here. Can you sing it? Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption. Can you sing it one more time? The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. You love the Lord? Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone. And the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, over death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives. Can you sing that song with me? Gone, I saw the stone was rolled back. Gone, I saw the tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone. Death triumphed, gone. Sin is defeated. Gone, and he lives. Can you sing that with me? The altars are open. I went over and I looked, and the stone is rolled away. And I went and looked, and the tomb was empty. When I stand upon the mountain, looking over into the city, give me faith that I can make it after all. Can you sing it with me? After all, life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain, oh, so high. Looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Can you sing with me? Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun will shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. Far across the bridge, there's no more. Across the bridge, there's no pain, for the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again. In this life we're living in, we have lived a life of sin. We've done forbidden things we shouldn't do, but now the Savior leads the way to a land of brighter day, where there's real happiness and love that's true. Can you sing that with me? Across the bridge, there ain't no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy. Sing it with me again. It's across the bridge, there's no more sorrow, and across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun will shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. Sing it one more time. For in this life we're living, I have lived the life of sin. I have done forbidden things I shouldn't do, but I met the Savior on the way. He showed me a place where I could stay, where there's real happiness and love that's true. It's across the bridge, there's no more sorrow, and across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun will shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. You love him? And he was here all the time. Jesus was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time. Jesus was here all the time, He was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time. Man, Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water and she was singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, it was not from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't. Hallelujah! Jesus gave her water. Remember, this water is not from a natural well. This water is from heaven. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the sea. One more time. For Jesus gave her some water that wasn't from the well. And Jesus gave her water. She went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water. Wasn't from the well. Can you give the Lord another hand? Are you glad you're here tonight? Let's sing one or two more choruses, and then we're going to dismiss you. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry, for He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. And you will find He's not too busy. Hear your heart's cry, for He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Let's lift our hands up. Close our eyes. Can you reach out and touch the Lord? I've already touched Him tonight. I've already touched Him, and He touched me too. For the song said, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. Now all the joy that floods my soul, for something happened. Something happened. Did something happen to you? Something happened, and now I know. I know He touched me. I know He touched me. I know He touched me because He has control. Hallelujah. It's so good to come to church and worship. It's so good to sing the praises of God. It's so good to stand together as a body of believers, as a family of God, It's so good to be able to appropriate means whereby we might go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's so good to help feed the widows and the orphans, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, because that's the way the Lord blessed us. You love the Lord. He wants you to be an overcomer. Taylor, do you remember the little song, "We'll Overcome"? We'll overcome. We'll overcome. We'll overcome someday. Or else in my heart I can believe we'll overcome. Can you sing with me? And we'll walk the streets of gold. We'll walk the streets of gold. We'll walk the streets of gold someday. If in my heart I can believe, we'll walk the streets of gold. Sing it with me. Or we're gonna overcome. And we will overcome. We will overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, then we'll overcome. Sing it again. Well, I've overcome, I've overcome, I've overcome here to stay. Deep in my heart, friend, I do believe, and I've overcome today. Well, you can overcome. And you can overcome, and you can overcome someday. If in your heart you can believe, then you can overcome. Sing it with me. Oh, we'll overcome. Oh, we'll overcome. We'll overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, then I'll overcome someday. We'll walk on streets of gold. We'll walk on streets of gold. We'll walk on streets of gold someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll walk on streets of... Can you sing that with me? For we're gonna overcome, and we're gonna overcome, we're gonna overcome someday. For if in my heart... Someday, walk on the streets of gold. Gonna walk on the streets of gold. Gonna walk on the streets of gold someday. For if in my heart I can believe, we'll walk on the streets of gold. Sing it with me now. For we're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome someday. For if in my heart I can believe, we're gonna overcome. Sing it with me. Oh, we'll overcome. Oh, we'll overcome. We'll overcome. overcome someday. For if in my heart I can believe, then we'll overcome.
Sing it one more time.
Walk on the streets of gold. Walk on the streets of gold. Walk on the streets of gold. Someday, if in my heart I can believe, I'm gonna walk on the streets.
Somebody say hallelujah.
I'll overcome.
You know why you come up here? You come up here because you get afraid the rapture will take place and you might be back there. See these little ones come up here. Go back to that man child being caught up to the throne.
For we will overcome. We will overcome. We will overcome someday. For if in my heart I can believe, we'll over.
Sing it with me again.
Oh, we're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome someday. For if in my heart I can believe,
you know what?
Walk on the streets of gold.
Walk on the streets of gold. This reminds me so much of the vision where I had, where we did overcome, and we were over in the millennium. I'll always remember that vision. My people, we were over in the millennium.
We will overcome. We will overcome. We will overcome if we'll play your heart. If you can believe, you'll overcome someday. For you can overcome. You can overcome. You can overcome someday. Or if in your heart, friend, you can believe, then you can overcome someday. Gonna walk on the streets of gold.
Why don't the rest of you just come on down here? Why don't you? I know you're wanting to come.
In my heart, I can believe. I'll overcome.
Let's worship the Lord. Come on, let's worship the Lord.
I'll overcome. I'll overcome. I'll overcome someday. Forever in my heart, I can believe. I'll over.
Sing it again with me.
Walk on the streets of gold.
Walk on the streets of gold.
Gonna walk on the streets of gold.
Gonna walk and pray.
In my heart, friend, I do believe. Gonna walk on the streets of gold.
Sing it with me.
For I will overcome. I will overcome.
Come someday,
for deep in my heart, friend, I do believe, and I'll overcome.
Sing that with me.
Well, we're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome today. For deep in my heart, I do believe I'm gonna overcome today.
Sing it again.
I'm gonna overcome. I'm gonna overcome. gonna overcome today. For deep in my heart, I do believe I'm gonna overcome.
Can you sing it just one more time?
Walk on the streets of gold. Walk on streets of gold. Walk on streets of gold someday. For up in my heart, I can believe I'll walk on streets of gold someday.
Let's give him a hand, can you? You love the Lord. Something is happening, and you know that something is happening. So many nights, different people gathering around the altar and pressing in close. They know that something is happening. See, the preacher usually stays up here. This is the place for the preacher. The preacher usually represents the head of the church. But if all the members begin to come together with the head of the church, something must be taking place. Amen. That's right. Something must be taking place. Like that lady saw the other night where I got my glorified body. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I'm waiting. I'm not waiting. The Bible said he's already glorified us. Isn't that what the Bible says? He sanctified us. He's already glorified us. Why do we have to wait? We don't have to wait. Let's give him glory for it. You know, that's the one thing about God's way of doing things. That's what we got to remember. There's nothing in God's world that becomes effective until you hear it preached, believe it, and then it's yours. You hear it preached, you believe it, then it's yours, because it's been yours ever since before the world ever was. And it becomes effective in your body when you believe it. You can't have healing until you believe it first. So I understand, well, if you healed me, I could sure testify that I've been healed. But the Bible said we believe to see. So to get your healing, you have to believe it first. To get your salvation, you have to believe he died for you to get it first. For the church to ever get out of here, come on, folks. What are they going to have to do? Come on. What are they going to have to do? How can they believe it? Because he said it's already happened. He said, and ye are they that dwell in heaven to rejoice forevermore. He said, in that you're not of this world, I've chosen you out of this world. Have you believed that? Why do you stay around in the world then, if you believe that? Do you believe that? For he has chosen us out of the world? Isn't that the way the translation takes place? Isn't that the way the rapture takes place? Come on, folks. When it comes to the redemption of the body, somebody says, that's what I'm waiting on. If you ever get it, you'll do like Enoch did. Enoch didn't wait on it. He believed. And by faith, he was translated that he should not see death. Isn't that right? Somebody said, well, but Brother Pike, we gotta get it first. No. All of his works is known unto him from the beginning. The Bible said he's already glorified us. God, through his foreknowledge, has already looked down and saw the change. How do you know that? Someone said, well, how do you get that? Because he said you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You couldn't be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh if God had not already seen it. God has already seen you changed. You're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It's already happened. Somebody says, but this don't look like it. I know. The Bible said it does not yet appear what we shall be like. But we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Anybody been seeing him as he is lately? He is the Word. He is the Spirit. He is the revelation. He is the declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is life in abundance. He is sanctification. He is glorification. He is the power of transformation. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you can see always the things that the Father does. Jesus said, the Son of Man, who is in heaven, what I want you to do is accept the fullness of this book. Revelation 10, the book was given to John. He said, John, eat it all. Eat it all. I've been preaching it all to you. Paul said, I'm not shunned to declare unto you the full counsel of God. I've been giving it all to you so that you can eat it all. It'll be bitter to the belly because the old serpent is on his belly. But it'll be sweet to your taste. It is precious inside of your heart. It will purify you
and make you clean and take that dirty filth out of you, and you'll be holy and godly, and that wonderful spirit of glory will radiate through you as it was when Stephen's face shined, as it was in the days when Moses' face shined, as it was when Jesus stood glistening on the mountaintop, and you won't have those old dirty thoughts. Charity, don't think any evil. You'll be holy in body and in spirit, and this mind will be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And you'll be a God woman and a God man, and it'll be a wonderful life for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little song together, can we? Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. Of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing. Oh, yes, it's changing me, changing me. Oh, it's changing me, changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, it's that glory that is changing me. Sing it with me now. Oh, let Thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let Thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ. It's the Father in the Son. It's in Thy shining glory that we see Thy Holy One. Our hope is to be like Him. So let Thy You know, I was just telling my wife today, looking at this elderly gentleman that we saw, I said, you know, Betty, I said, isn't it going to be wonderful to be in heaven with folks like that? And I think about folks like Brother Thomas, you know, good folks that love the Lord. It's going to be wonderful to be up there with them kind of folks. You know, be in heaven with them kind of folks. How do you know that I'm in heaven tonight with some of them kind of folks? Sure I am. Oh, somebody said, well, I just can't get a hold of that. Well, I wish you could. I wish you could. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Maybe someday you will. Maybe someday you will. God has translated us. He hath translated us. He's already translated us. Already translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God. Is anybody in the kingdom of God tonight? Has anybody got the kingdom of God within you tonight? He hath already translated us. Why are you waiting for the translation? Why are you waiting for the translation? Somebody says, I'm waiting for it. Well, that's what I'm preaching tonight, is the translation. Would you like to be translated into the kingdom of God? Somebody says, someday, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Someday, someone said, the Bible said, today is the day of salvation. This is the day. Somebody said, well, at the time that he will receive me, the Bible said, now is the accepted time. He has succored us in a day that was accepted at Calvary. Today is that day. I preached on it the other night. The day is the day of his rest. Would you like to get away from your worries, your pressures, your struggling, your Pentecostal efforts, and come on into the kingdom of God? Would you like to do that? The song I wrote, Up Here There's Room for Us All. Would you like to do that? Is there anybody in the kingdom of God? Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Is there anybody in the kingdom of God tonight? You are in the kingdom of God. How did you get into the kingdom of God? You believed your way in. By faith. By faith. What happened to Enoch when he was translated? He was translated. He couldn't see death. What happened to you when you was translated? He passed from death unto life. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody said, but that was back there in his body. I know that was on the other side of Calvary. It had to do with the body. Let's give the Lord a hand. A lot to say about that. It's a great mystery. Great mystery. A lot to say about that. But what difference does it make? If he went into the kingdom of God and you went into the kingdom of God, what difference is that? Somebody, while you're standing here, tell me the difference between it. Somebody said, the body. What's that got to do with it? Where's your body anyway? Where is your body anyway? It's buried. It's buried. It's buried. Are you buried with the body? Are you buried with the body? Why aren't you buried with the body? Because you was resurrected. You're the children of the resurrection. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. That's why the Bible said you that are alive and remain. You that are alive and remain. There's a great mystery about that. That is a great mystery. Can we sing this little chorus? And this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. And I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. I'll be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, glad in it. For this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Now, how many of you believe this is the day? Remember, from Calvary now, this is the day. It extends all the way from Calvary. It started Calvary. That's the morning. That's the breaking. That was the dawning of the day star in your heart. This is the day. It hasn't stopped yet. It hasn't stopped. Somebody said, well, when will this be over? Never. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Never. This is the day. Entering into the rest of the Lord. This is the day. Would you like to rest from your troubles? Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, if I could just lay down this cross and go home, I'll tell you what, you can rest from your worries tonight. Oh, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. I'll be glad in it. Do you feel like the children of the resurrection? Do you feel that you're the children of the resurrection? Joyce, I'll be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has. Sing it again. Oh, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has.